Welcome to the October 31st, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Love Completely. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. Good morning. We welcome you to worship here at College Park. Before I get started with announcements, if anybody lost their clip-on sunglasses, I've got those up here. We can auction them off. We start at Raymond? Five. 50? 50. We're going to start at 50, so if you want those, you know who to pay. We are glad that you are here for worship today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship, members and guests. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite everyone to take that and write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, give us your contact information, and then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. Once it gets to the end, if you could send it back to where it got started, we do ask, when it gets back to the first person who used it this morning, if you could take out the pages that were used, that will help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Reminder to our children today, we are having children's time, and that is right after the first hymn. So I want the kids to come down here and meet with me for just a few minutes for children's time. Reminder to the youth and youth parents, we are having Destination X today, right after church until 4 o'clock. I want to make sure we're going to have to head out pretty quick. So as soon as the service is over, get changed and we'll jump on the bus. And parents will be back by 4 o'clock and for Destination X. We have several things listed in upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Hope that you make note of those things. Including one of the things that was left off inadvertently was All Saints service will be this coming Wednesday at 7. Is that correct, Raymond? 7 o'clock, All Saints, this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Let's see. Jason.
Good morning. Today our 1 month to live theme and study continues, and our small group studies, we're having two, one on Sunday nights that I'm facilitating. We typically meet at 6, but for those of you who are interested in coming, and we'd love to have anyone, or those who have been coming, we're actually going to meet at 5 tonight. So we're going to note that we're going to meet at 5 instead of 6. So, and if someone is not here today, but you know that they've been here before, feel free to let them know that today, that we're going to meet at 5 instead of 6. We'll save you plenty of time to trick-or-treat tonight. The Wednesday session, which is facilitated by Jennifer Allen, continues in the coffee house this Wednesday night. That's at 6:30. And even though this is week 3, the first week was an introduction. Really, last week was our first week of the actual theme the four parts of living purposely with 1 month to live. So it's not too late to start. It's not too late to pick up a book and get started. You can really start anytime. So we'd love to have you join us tonight or Wednesday night for 1 month to live. Also, a quick word about our senior adult ministry. First of all, we had a group that took a cruise to the Bahamas this week and made it safely back. They're all well tanned and vacationed, so we're really happy about that. We had a group of 20 that went, and so glad they had a great time. And also, I want to let you know that our senior adult ministry is sponsoring a movie night on Monday night, November the 8th. So not tomorrow, but 1 week from tomorrow, we're going to have a movie night on the big screens in Smith Hall. And showtime's at 7 o'clock. The movie's a surprise, but it's going to be fun and uplifting. And there may be some popcorn and treats involved. So I want to invite you, whatever your age is, and you're welcome to invite others as well. So thanks.
I'd like to ask our ministers to come forward. We have three up here, and Raymond, and also Dr. Edwards. Most of you probably know that this is Minister Appreciation Month, and it is still October, barely. But deacons would like to take this opportunity to recognize our ministers And that includes Dr. Edwards, who's been faithful for many years and still steps up and helps us in lots of ways. But we know that they do a lot to keep our church running. They're very faithful. They make personal sacrifices. We know their families make sacrifices. And as a deacon chair, I'd like to take this opportunity to give them a small token of thankfulness and to give you the opportunity to recognize and thank them as well.
Well, thank you. That was unexpected, but thank you very much to all of you. It's my honor, and I know I can speak on the rest of the staff. It's our honor to serve at College Park, and we look forward to doing that for some time to come. Other announcements that we'll draw attention to. Reminder to the youth, we are having youth choir rehearsal right after they get back. Is that correct? Maybe. All right. I didn't make that announcement. But Tuesday night, we are having youth basketball practice. We're starting up our Hoops for Him teams. And so that starts this Tuesday night. You can find details on our youth website. Also, this Wednesday night, and I say this not just because it's a youth event, but I'd like for everyone to be praying. We have decided since our time in New York that the first Wednesday of every month, our youth are going to be heading to the downtown bus station to be giving out water and snacks and prayer with people. So I would ask for you to be praying for our young people, the opportunities that we'll have to share Christ's love. And we're going to be doing that this Wednesday night. And youth and parents, you can find details about that on the website as well. You'll find other things listed there, upcoming events, opportunities for the week, many, many other things that are happening. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You've already given us your information. We have ushers that are like to give something back to you. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers will recognize you. They will give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, and you'll find a little bit of the story of College Park. And also, you will find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we are very blessed by your presence today, and we pray that God would reveal himself in a mighty way during this time of worship. Have you ever had just one of those days where you can't even get out of your car and things just go wrong? And it seems like every step of the way, something's blocking you from being and becoming who God intended you to be. Lots of distractions, lots of things that happen. I mean, don't we have those days? I wonder, is today one of those days for you? Because God is ready to reveal himself to you if we would remove those distractions, if we would let them go. Because there's a lot of stuff that can weigh us down. There's a lot of stuff when if we're real and we let God come in and touch us, how he could change us. Let us prepare for worship. pray together. Our Father, if we were honest this morning, we'd recognize that there are many things that are keeping us from focusing on you. Some of those things have just happened completely out of our control. Some of those things we're in charge of. No matter what the distraction, no matter what the challenge, no matter what the issue, we know that when we focus on you, all things become clear. That's what we want in this time of worship. Be in this place, we pray, and speak straight through our distractions to our heart, to our mind, and to our soul, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All the kids are welcome to come on down. Come on, Wallace, I see you up there. We'll wait for you. Oh, how's everybody? Can everybody kind of come sit closer to me? All right, crisscross applesauce would be good. Oh, man. All right. Did Christian sneak up on me? Oh, it's going to be a big day. It's going to be a big, big, big day, isn't it? Really big day. All right, before we get to that, I have a question. How do you know that somebody loves you? They give you cookies. They give you $1,000. Okay. They kiss you, okay. There's a physical sign, okay. A million pets, yes. And they clean up after a million pets, okay. They say, I love you. We say, I love you, but how? What does love look like? What does it look like?
A heart?
Well, Christian. Cookies. Well, I have something here. Are you giving out cookies for your Are you giving out cookies? Now, what is this? Mr. Aaron, what is this? Aaron, what's this? An apple. And what kind of tree did this grow off of? You mean it didn't grow off an orange tree? Why? So it's the fruit. So how do you tell what kind of tree it is? It's by the what grows on it. But here's... Then it's an orange tree. Yeah. It could be an apple orange tree. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, okay. Here's what happens. You want to know how I know if you love somebody? You give them an apple. What is it with food in your house? I don't know.
Give them a liquor.
What happens if you want to know how to love? I'm going to tell you the secret. It's because God loved you first. And in Jesus, God showed us how much that He loves us. And if you love other people, if you do things for them, if you show them how much you love them. You know, if God is love, then shouldn't we be about love? If we're supposed to be like Him, like this apple, it'd be weird if an orange came off an apple tree.
Yeah.
Well, we're not. That's another sermon. Okay. What happens? You should be just like this apple. God is inside of you, and He's growing you. And if God is love, we're supposed to show people our love. By the things that you do, by the things that you say, people should be able to see in you that God is love. Now, I thought for you, just as a reminder today, you know, you're going to be getting lots of candy tonight, right?
Yes! Yeah. Oh, yeah!
So, would anybody want an apple today?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
You mean if I didn't get apples for y'all today, I mean, that's not a good thing?
I'll take it.
As opposed to chocolate and... oh, yeah. But you're going to get it after the service. All right. But I want you to remember, as you go trick-or-treat tonight, no scary. I want you to show God's love everywhere that you go. I want people to be able to look at you and know that God is love. Okay? Let's pray together. God, we love You. And we thank You for this time that You've given to us. And the reminder that if You are inside and You want us to grow just like this apple, the apple becomes like the tree that it grew from. We are growing from Your tree. And You want us to be loving and to show that love everywhere we go. Even when we're out trick-or-treating. Even when we're at school. Even when we're in our rooms. Everywhere we go, please help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians, I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And you can probably guess what it is. A familiar passage, but a powerful one, and one that's directly on point as we continue to talk about how we should live if we are going to live as if we only had 30 more days to live, and live in a way that shows that our lives are and our days are gifts from God. And today we talk about loving completely. This is 1 Corinthians 13 in the love chapter. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful passage and these beautiful words that are familiar to us, but very special and very meaningful as a reminder of the importance of love in our lives and the gift that you have given us by helping us to understand the full measure of love through you. Lord, we need to confess that this week we probably did not do, in fact, I know we didn't do all we could to give our hearts and minds to you to experience the love that you have for us. We take it for granted, Lord, that you love us, that you're present with us, when we need to be seeking every day to be in communication and communion with you to know what that love is like. Because there are dimensions of your love we haven't even begun to understand. Lord, draw us closer and help us to have the wisdom to commit ourselves today and tomorrow and this week to grow closer to you, to open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to what you have for us, to understand better today and tomorrow the love that you're blessing us with, which is incredible. It's beyond our comprehension. It's certainly more than we've already experienced. There's so much more that we can gain from you, because you have things in mind for us each and every day for us to grow closer to you and for you to share a calling and a purpose on our daily lives. Lord, as we try to figure out how to live as if we only had 30 days to live, how to live in a way that reflects our priorities, that reflects our values, reflects our faith, and most importantly, reflects our love for you, help us to grow closer to you, to seek you, so that we may understand more about the way that you love us and that we can love you more completely each day. We can give of ourselves and have this kind of relationship with you that will just lift us up and support us and carry us every day, no matter what happens. And Lord, help us to understand love so more fully and so more completely that the fruit of our actions and the fruit of our love will be positive and it will be a blessing to others, that we may be who you want us to be every single day, that our lives may not be just work toward a to-do list, but they may be experiences filled with love and filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for loving us. Help us to love you more this week. Draw us nearer and closer to you this week as we live for you in your love. Amen.
Will you join me in prayer? God of grace and God of glory, we do come to you with hearts full of love, full of gratitude for the gifts of this day and for all the permanent gifts that you give to us. We also come to you with hearts, minds that are often filled with those blocks and those barriers, those things that keep us from loving you and from knowing your love fully. And so my prayer this morning is that you will teach us to love you more. You will teach us, help us to know you more. And that you will teach us and help us to love what you love in the ways that you love. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir. It was beautiful. And girls, thank you. I know this may not exactly be your element, but we appreciate you sharing your talents with us. We really do. Leading us in worship, we value that, so thank you. This morning we are going to play a little game called Amazing Things That You May Not Know. You can put a subtitle after that or care about, but we're not going to go there. Amazing things that you may not know. Did you know that elephants are the only animals that cannot jump? That's probably a good thing if you think about it. It probably really is. Elephants are the only animals that cannot jump. Did you know that the body's strongest muscle is our tongue? I thought it was a gland, but they say it's kind of both. Strongest muscle is the tongue. Did you know that statistically, people are more afraid of spiders than they are of dying? I tell you, my sister is one of those that could verify that for us. Did you know that all polar bears are left-handed? How do they know? They don't write? Maybe it's how they feed themselves. All polar bears. Did you know that crocodiles cannot stick out their tongue? That's comforting if you're ever in the Amazon. Did you know that butterflies taste with their feet? Strange but true. Did you know that a cockroach can only live 9 days without its head? It only dies because it cannot eat. It's all like middle school boys. Did you know that a duck's quack has no echo? And nobody can explain why. Amazing things that maybe you didn't know. Did you know that Thomas Edison was afraid of the dark? That's kind of ironic, isn't it? The light bulb thing saying. Did you know that when the English settlers landed in Australia, they noticed this strange animal that jumped extremely high and far and had this little pouch thing, and they asked the Aboriginal people, using body language and sign language, trying to figure out, what do you call that animal? And the Aborigines responded, kangaroo. And the English just said, okay, that's the name of the animal. Then we adopted the word kangaroo from that. What the Aboriginal people were trying to say was, we don't understand you, kangaroo. Amazing things that you maybe didn't know. Amazing thing. Did you know that God demonstrated his love for you in this? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe the most amazing thing I've ever heard. So what does God's love look like? To me, it looks like the face of Jesus. And if you don't get a clear enough picture about Jesus from reading scripture, from reading the gospels, reading about the life of Christ, just in case you didn't get all of that, Paul brings it down to bite-sized pieces for us. Jason's already read from 1 Corinthians 13. I want to read it again. I want to read from a different translation, just so you can begin to take it all in. This is from the Message. Again, 1 Corinthians 13. But now I want to lay out a better way for you. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all of its mysteries and making everything plain as day, and I have not faith, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Love doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with anything. It trusts God always. It always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. So trust steadily in God. Hope unswervingly. Love extravagantly. And the best of the three is love. Love is something we do. Love is an action word. Love is meant to be given. So if we want to love completely, and here we are in the third Sunday, but actually the second week of the text, as Jason has mentioned, we're on love completely. So if we look at what Jesus did and we say we want to love completely, then what should we do? Our lives should begin to resemble Jesus more and our old selfish self less. So our actions, our attitudes, our thoughts will look more like what Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13 than probably how we're living today, right? That's what we should be shooting for. So if you only had 1 month to live, how would you live each day? What would you do differently? I can tell you this. Personally, I would want to love more completely. I would want people to see the love of Christ shining through me instead of some of that other garbage that I used to put on top priority. Does that make sense? We would want people to see the love of Christ shining through us. So how do we do that? How do we love more completely? Again, look at what Jesus did when he knew he had a short period of time. We talked about this in the first week, but I want to go back to it. In John chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, it said, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And how did he do that? They washed their feet. That's right, choir. He washed their feet. To show the full extent of his love, he did an act of service. Something that generally the servants would do. It was a common practice. It's just something that they would never expect from rabbi, from teacher. He washed their feet. He served them. He demonstrated his love by serving them. He gave of himself. He humbled himself. So if you knew you only had 1 month to live, you would want to do the same that Jesus did, right? You would want to love completely. You would want to say the things that you should have already have said, but now you get a chance. You would want to do the things that you've really known you should be doing, but now all of a sudden it becomes important. It becomes your highest priority. So you do those things for people. You'll focus on relationships. You focus on giving of yourself. Jesus showed his disciples the full extent of his love by doing something simple. He washed their feet. He gave of himself to show his love. John 3:16, we see it at every ball game. Some guy's holding up a sign. It's great. Somebody's wearing it on the t-shirt. We see it all the time. John 3:16. But do we ever really stop to realize the impact of those verses? For God so loved the world. You and me, he loved us so much that he did what? He gave. God loved us so much that he gave. When Jesus wanted to show the full extent of his love, he gave. God loved us so much, he gave. Jesus loves us so much, he gives. We love God so much that we take. Think about it. You know, it's the truth. We'll admit it. You know, in our prayers, we're constantly asking God for more. More blessings, more stuff. And we take it all, assuming that somehow we deserve it because God loves us. So we must deserve it. He gives it, so we must deserve it. And we completely ignore the example of God the Father and God the Son. God so loved that he gave. What's our problem? Where's the disconnect here? Our love is selfish for the most part. We really don't know what it's like to give as God gives. I suspect if we knew we only had 1 month to live, we would try to discover what it means to give, to love, as God gives and loves. And what would that look like? I would dare say it would look a lot like how you responded when you had your first child. Right? Some parents know what I'm talking about. When you have that first child, for some in our church here, they've got their first child. And you look at that child and you love that child so much, the temptation is to give it anything and everything. But you do give it what it needs. You give it the affirmation. You give it the tender care. You give it what it needs for the daily needs of that child. Because why? Because you love it. You love that child. That's what it looks like. You give because you love. I believe love would look like people offering help to anyone and everyone without conditions, without strings attached, without any political agenda. I believe love looks like hungry people being fed and clothed and giving human dignity back without wondering if we're going to get anything in return. I think love would look like the face of these teenagers when they go to the bus station and they give away water and they give away snacks and they offer to pray. They give their time to people who desperately need to know that somebody cares. It would mean that we accept any and all into our fellowship and worship without discrimination or even a second thought. It would mean that we would accept those who need to know the love of Christ without passing judgment. It would mean that we would give of our time to help and encourage others. It would mean that we would give freely of our talents, using them to glorify God. It would mean that we would quit withholding our treasures, our money that belongs to God because somehow we need it and somehow we think God's going to bless our selfishness. Remind you of a verse while we're here. Matthew chapter 6, beginning verse 20. It says, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." You know, if you only had 30 days to live, you'd be thinking about that a lot more than storing up treasures here, wouldn't you? Isn't it interesting that every time we have one of these movements where people think, you know, the end of the world's coming, and we got one of these coming up in 2012, okay? Now watch. For all the people in 2012, as we get closer to December 21st, 2012, watch and see all these people that are saying the world's going to end. Watch and see how many of them sell their possessions and see which ones give them away. You'll find out who really believes it. Because what's the point in selling them if the world's coming to an end? Right? Store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Huh. Now, I kind of expected it to say, where your heart is, there you put your treasure. But he doesn't say that. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your treasure is, your heart will be. God, I love you, but I'm buying a new TV instead. God, I love you, but I decided to get a bigger house or a better car or more stuff. God, I love you, but I can't trust you enough to give the tithe that's yours, so I'll steal it from you and continue to expect you to bless me. Ouch. Where my treasure is tells the tale about where my heart is. God so loved that he gave. God, forgive us. Forgive us when we withhold from you what's rightly yours. Forgive us when we withhold love from one another because we're so self-absorbed or self-focused that we miss every single cue from the Holy Spirit that prompts us to love unconditionally. God so loved that he gave. Jesus so loved that he gave. Jesus gave not only to his disciples in the act of washing their feet, but ultimately he gave everything that he had. He gave himself completely. He gave himself over to the most painful death that had ever been devised by man. He gave himself over to be separated from his Father for us. And if you only had 1 month to live, wouldn't you at least try to love as God loves, to give as God gives, to give back to God your God-given talents, your God-given time, your God-given treasures. Church, to love is to give. That is the nature of who God is, and that's what he expects from us. It sounds real simple, but it's actually very profound. The reason why you're placed on earth is to love, and you're not quite living until you're loving. And you're not loving until you're giving. Jesus summed up the entire Bible in a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 22. He says it this way, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your..." This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's saying love God first and love others like yourself. At the end of your life, it doesn't matter how much stuff you've accumulated because the one who dies with the most toys is still dead. It doesn't matter how many awards you've won. It doesn't matter how many goals you've achieved. All that will matter is did you obey God's command to love? Jesus said it right there. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Did you love? Did you love the people in your life? Did you love God with all of your heart? That's what it means to love completely. Let's pray and ask God for help. Gracious Father, we're not good at that because we're selfish. We love conditionally. We love the people we want to love, or we love the people that we think will love us back or give us some sort of advantage by loving them. We're selfish by nature. But we pray that through Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would touch our hearts, that you would cleanse us of the black, ugly stuff called sin, called selfishness, called pride, called arrogance, all of those things that keep us separated from full fellowship with you. Father, we pray that all of that would be set aside, that you would cleanse our hearts, that you would renew our spirit. Father, we do love you, but we want to know how to love you extravagantly, to love you without condition, to love one another without conditions. So, Father, we pray that in the hours and the days and the weeks to come, that you would begin to show us exactly what that means, what that looks like in our own life. Lead us and allow us to hear your voice. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. It would have been a whole lot easier to preach a sermon that basically just talks about love and warm love and fuzzy love. But that's not what God gave me this week. I hope that being here this morning, that God has touched your heart in a way that maybe showed you a different side of what it means to really love completely. If you're here and you're not a Christian, I want to say this to you. You can never love, truly love, until you have Christ in your heart. And these other believers around you will tell you that that's the truth. You can never truly love until you have Christ in your heart, until you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So this morning, that's first priority. If you're not a believer, I'd love to share with you how you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's His desire, and that's our desire for you. I'll be here at the front, or you can call me anytime this week. Be glad to talk with you about it. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but man, you know, you stepped all over my toes, and I say, welcome to the club. I step on yours for about 10 minutes. God steps on mine all week. So it's kind of a trade-off there. But if you're here and you say, that's me, I'm really not loving as I should, then this is your time as well. You can certainly pray where you are. You're welcome to come to the altar. If you're here and you say, this is a wonderful, warm fellowship, and it is, and I'd like to be a part of that, we want to invite you to be a part of it. There's many ways we receive members, and I'll be glad to share. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. let you know that Phil and Bonnie Roberts joined in the 9 o'clock service this morning. Some of you have met them already. They and their little girl, Katie, have been with us now for 2 or 3 months, and they've expressed a desire to be a part of this fellowship. So I hope when you see them, introduce yourself and extend to them a warm welcome. I want you to have an opportunity before you leave, following the benediction, the response, greet each other. Give each other, you can express love by giving a hug or a handshake or a smile, whatever. Just welcome one another before you leave today. I hope you have a wonderful afternoon. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of today. Father, we pray that as we experience love, that we would extend that, that you would love through us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.